The question was asked, being that we're allowed to say things, what's called in halacha litoeles, we're allowed to make a comment when it's necessary, if someone's going to hire someone, and we know the person to be dishonest, and they come and ask us, should I hire him to run the cash register? So it's incumbent upon us to share with them the information we have. So then why would it be improper for a person in passing to say, I wouldn't hire this guy to educate kids because he's got nice ideas, but he doesn't connect with the kids. What's wrong with the comment? So when, as we continue in the Chafetz Chaim, we will learn about the criterion. When can we say and can't we say something? So one of the criterion is it factual or is it my opinion? When we say something like he has highfalutin ideas, but he doesn't connect with the kids, is that a fact or is that my opinion of the person? So do I have a right to share my opinion? If I know factually the guy was caught stealing, or I saw him stealing, or he told me he stole. So that's a fact, so I can share that.
But dealing with children, that's always going to be someone's opinion. One person will say he does connect.
Oh.
One person will say he
does. I'm saying one criterion is it factual? The second criterion is, did I exaggerate or did I get it exactly right? The third criterion is, was I asked?
Was I
asked?
Oh, okay.
Do I have a right to run after someone and say, you know, he's such and such? If I'm not asked, by what right? So if it's a question of harm, like someone's going to steal from the cash register, that's one thing. But if it's a question of would I recommend the choice or would I not recommend the choice, then do I have a right to go express my opinion when it isn't factual and hurt someone else? I'm saying that. So there's a fourth criterion, which is, the Chafetz Chaim is going to discuss, our tendency is that when we want to share our opinion with someone, so we are concerned that they won't accept our opinion. And so we tend to exaggerate, reiterate, and stress where those are not part of the facts. Those are part of our attempts to ensure that our opinion is accepted and acted upon. And that's not permissible, because that's already not litueles, meaning it's their responsibility to give it the proper weight. I'll tell you a story. A couple got engaged. Okay, they're engaged. And someone comes over to me and tells me that the chassan doesn't know, but his kala was caught that she kidnapped someone. Kidnapped someone, held them hostage for a number of months, used them. That's pretty serious, right? That's, you know, you want to know that.
Person can make tshuva.
A person can do tshuva.
They're probably not doing it anymore, so that's a big difference here.
Right? Sure. It's possible. Question number one is, did they ask him? Question number two is, how do you know it's true? So I asked the person, how do you know it's true? You know, you're coming and asking me, don't we have to share it with the chassan that his wife has this history? You know, it's one thing if a person has a history, they did this wrong, that wrong. Hey, people do tshuva, fine. But to kidnap someone, hold them hostage and you know, give them only bread and water and make them do your work for you, that's pretty cruel. But wait a second, do you know it's true? You know, the story sounds fascinating, but is it true? So the guy tells me, sure, it's true. It's on YouTube. So I said,
well, someone put it on YouTube, so it doesn't mean
that means it's true?
No.
So, again, you know, this idea of litoeles, I'm going to say it because it's for the other person's benefit. Well, I better know the facts. I better be careful how I say the facts. I better be careful where I say them. No one else has to hear it except for the relevant party. I better be careful not to overstate it. And I have to wonder whether I have a right to say it if I wasn't asked for it. Meaning, do I have a right to impose on someone else my opinion when that could hurt their... Like in this case, it hurt the guy. The guy didn't get a job for 2 years. He's still unemployed. So I'm saying I named five criteria. We're going to learn more when we get there with the Chafetz Chaim. And again, that's where the Chafetz Chaim develops a sensitivity. Yeah. You're right. There's a heter. It's permissible for when it's necessary, it's permissible. But there are criteria of how to be careful to do it right. And it's hard, because we mean well. And there is an area where we have to speak up. The Rebbe of Belz said a nice Dvar Torah on this past week's Parsha. Someone quoted me at the bus stop this morning. We know that tsaras comes to a person because they spoke improperly. They said lashon hara. That was this past week's parsha. So in the cure of the tsaras, it says that one bird was slaughtered, and the other bird, its pair, was dipped in the blood and then set free onto the field. So why? If what we're trying to do is show that the bird is instead of the person spoke too much. That's why he chirped like a bird and he got tsaras. So that's why that's the idea of purifying the metzora goes through slaughtering the bird. Then why do you take the other bird and let it out in the field? So the Rebbe of Belz said, we often think about our responsibility not to talk. And that's one angle of Lashon Hara. You have to be careful. You're not allowed to say things that are prohibited. You speak badly about other people. But sometimes you have to talk. And when a person has to talk and he doesn't talk, so that's also destructive. And that's why he says you let the other bird go chirping out in the blood of the first bird. And that's to indicate that you have both sides of the coin. You have the side of the coin, this gentleman got tsaras because he spoke when he shouldn't have spoken. But we're also reminding him, don't go to the opposite extreme. Sometimes you got to talk. And not talking can be just as destructive as talking. Sometimes you got to speak up. That's the part of the Rebbe of Belz.